In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. I found this to be a long and difficult passage, and I looked at many different reflections for this Sunday, and I just was hoping that I would find one that would help explain it to me. And our wonderful and dear friend, the Reverend Wanda Copeland, sent a sermon, and when it arrived, it was the one. So I'm going to share the Reverend Wanda Copeland's sermon with you today. It's titled, "The Pity Party is Over." Today from John, we have the third post-resurrection showing of Jesus to the disciples. It would be easy to say that Jesus simply can't let go. Pardon me. Like Bishop Curry described a few years ago, it's as if John is getting ready to land the plane, and all of a sudden, he thinks of one more thing, and off he goes again. As curious disciples, however, we expect there might be more. Now, the normal suspects are there once again. Peter, Thomas, James and John, Nathaniel, and two more. So we have seven of the 11 remaining inner circle of disciples back at their previous profession of fishing and back in their home area around the Sea of Galilee, Tiberias. They were all hanging out together, most likely reflecting on the recent events that had taken Jesus from them and had led to his death. I'm not saying that any of you have similar thoughts running through your heads recently, but they were clearly going through a rough patch. Their daily life had been totally upended, out of sorts and uncertain of the future. They were just lost. The beloved disciple, John, realizes it first. The stranger on the shore is Jesus. They are overjoyed, but clearly at a loss for words. They didn't understand resurrection any more than we do. How to explain, how to wrap your head around someone living after they died. It made no sense. There was no context. What to say, what to do. Their eyes were glued to Jesus. And Jesus began to speak. Jesus begins, "Simon, do you love me more than these?" "Simon, you lied about knowing me 3 times. You told perfect strangers that we had never shared time together. You violated our friendship and rejected my love as I was dying. Do you love me? Have you reconsidered?" If you have ever been or had a friend betray you, make fun of you, choose another friend over you, turn their back at a desperate time in your life, or simply walk out on you, you know how this conversation feels. Jesus is asking, "Does this friendship mean nothing to you? If you love me, Peter, this is what I need you to do. Feed my lambs. Tend my sheep. Feed my sheep." Peter felt hurt, John tells us. Of course. Jesus has been hurt too. There was enough pain to go all around. Everybody was feeling embittered and shortchanged. Now, we all know life doesn't always go the way we think it will. We get hurt, we get angry. But Jesus won't stop. Like I said at the beginning, Jesus won't let go. Remember, however, it's not his own life that he will not let go of. It's us. Jesus is concerned about us, his beloved, that he must come back and work on it a little bit more. What he asks of Peter, of all his disciples, is that they stop what they are doing, get out of their pity party, and care for those around them. Now, interpretations abound about why Jesus asked Peter three times. Does it echo Peter's three denials? Or does it take Jesus saying three times, "Peter, do you love me?" for Peter to get his ears out of his broken heart and pay attention? We can only speculate. But we know this. We are precious to Jesus. We have always been most precious to Jesus. His first and last concern is bringing the love of God to our world, to our hearts, to our lives. Jesus always wonders about us and cares for us. We are the sheep, the lambs, new and growing in faith. We are the ones who need a shepherd, someone who can spot danger miles ahead of us and circle us around so we stay away from the danger. And yet, we are the ones with whom Jesus entrusts the care of the world. "Feed and tend my sheep," Jesus says. "I entrust to you, I give over to you completely the spiritual health of the rest of creation." Jesus is incredibly clear and direct in this passage. "I entrust to you the salvation of the world. I have done all I could. I have set the example. I have created the model. I have walked the talk. Everything I have done and been is a witness for you. And now I go. I must leave you. But I trust you with the future. I trust our time together. I trust you and what you have learned. You will be fine. You have all the raw materials you need. You have experience. You have had the chance to learn from your mistakes. After all else is said and done, I give you my peace." There is much we don't know. We can feel ill-prepared for the future. We can yearn for the way it used to be. We can hope that we get just a bit more time to pull ourselves together. It's like asking a professor for a short extension. However, there will never be enough time to be perfect. Jesus doesn't ask us to be perfect. Jesus only expects that we carry his love with us, that we treat people as he did, that we trust ourselves as much as he does, that we commit to all that we have said we would do in his name. If we but do that, the world would stand on its ear and listen to us. Such is the power we have. Today, Jesus calls on us to live it out fully. Amen.